Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Our guest today has worked for several clients, including Disney, Disney Japan, DreamWorks, Warner Brothers, Facebook, Nickelodeon, Hasbro. The list goes on and on and on. His work is currently being shown in the Wonderground Gallery in the downtown Disney District at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California. And he also has art prints there and merchandise currently available, which is awesome. So welcome to the show, Jared Maruyama.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Jared, I secretly found out today that you drew the Incredibles Christmas card for D23.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a surprise project that came in, and I was just thrilled to be in there, especially when I saw the other participating artists. It was quite an honor to be able to do that image for them.
I had to do a screen grab, and it's now part of my wallpaper that cycles through. And every time I see that, I get this like kind of chuckle, you know, just seeing the Incredibles like with a Christmas picture.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear that it made the wallpaper list there. So thank you very much.
Yeah. So let's start with, how did you get started, as an artist and drawing? And, how did you get this great enterprise of content that you have going?
Well, I've always drawn since I was a kid. It wasn't always something that I was going to pursue as a career growing up. It's not something I think that, it's not an easy career to go into. So I think I was always concerned about that. But, I grew up kind of at this key time when animation, that sort of second golden age of animation. So like Roger Rabbit, things like that were coming out. And then when I saw The Little Mermaid, and I was already in high school at this time, I was just so moved by that movie and so surprised by its storytelling and things that I knew that I wanted to be an artist of some sort. Whether that was working for Disney or not, I just wanted to pursue it as a career. So that's what I went to school for. I spent a lot of time in school. But I got my degree in illustration. And from there, I had a bunch of different jobs as an art director and things like that before being able to finally go freelance. And since going freelance, I've been able to work on a lot of these different exciting projects and for some big clients and things like that. So it's been something that I've always done, and I'm just very fortunate to be able to continue to do it as a career.
Yeah. Did you want to draw for a specific company? Did you say, hey, I want to be an illustrator and draw for Warner Brothers or, Disney? Or did you have a company in mind when you started out on your journey?
Well, when I was in college and going to school for art and things like that, it sounds like it's so long ago now, but really at that time there was no internet and social media and things like that. And this is just the 90s, so it's not that far off, but it was still just before that was sort of prevalent. So I wanted to work for Disney because I loved their characters and their films and things like that, but I wasn't really aware of the other job outside of animation because I knew I didn't want to do actual animation. But I didn't know what that would be at Disney if you weren't an animator. So while I wanted to work for Disney, I didn't necessarily pursue that until much later. But definitely working with characters or working with whether that was Disney characters or Warner Brothers characters, I think those were the two big ones certainly at the time. And then things started, animation started really going more widespread. There was Cartoon Network and things. So I always wanted to work sort of hovering around the animation field. If I could be doing anything with character work, I would be pretty happy.
Now, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in San Jose, California, like Silicon Valley area. So I've grown up there for most of my life and lived there. I only recently... Well, it's actually been about 10 years now, but I currently live in Sacramento, California, so not too far from San Jose, but it's not in Los Angeles or Anaheim.
So you're used to wonderful, beautiful weather, which I'm sure is inspiring for your art.
Yeah. As Californians, we get sort of spoiled by that.
Now, outside of your degree in illustration, was there any like additional training that you had or formal things like that?
Not really. I went to San Jose State, and it was a very traditional illustration program that they had there, which was fantastic. And then just before I was leaving, they started an animation program that became part of the illustration program. So in order to graduate, you had to go through this animation program, which was extremely helpful. Like, it really taught you how to draw, kind of, you know, draw for animation specifically. And the main thing I learned from that, though, was that I did not want to do animation. And as much as I liked the medium, I couldn't animate. It was very tough for me. So, but that was sort of the only training outside of general illustration that I had that was specifically for the animation field. But other than that, it's been a lot of just, doing stuff on your own and kind of finding a style that suits, you know, the type of work that I wanted to do.
Yeah, so talk about style. I call your stuff really super cute. And, I feel like the characters are real and they kind of like pop off the page. So, you know, does it have a formal style that you can, you know, you call it this? Or does it have a name, that the type of illustration that you do?
I think super cute works pretty well.
I'm fine with that.
I often call it like the kawaii style, which is sort of a Japanese idea of cute. And to me, like, it's what Hello Kitty does really well. It's a simplification, I think, of sort of character concepts and features and things like that to almost its most basic form, where you're still recognizing this as a character. But I don't know that there is, it's definitely a Japanese influence, I think, but I don't know that it necessarily falls into a specific category or a name. So yeah, kawaii or super cute works for me.
I mean, you really make like the eyes, like the center focal point of the face. And I think that's what kind of draws me in, to the illustration. So it, whatever you do, you're doing a great job. Trust me.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
So how did you end up at Disney, and are you like a contractor, or how does your position work there?
Yeah, I'm, I work freelance, which is fantastic. It offers you a lot of freedom. You know, I don't have to go into an office or anything like that. When Disney was starting the Wonderground Gallery, they had seen my work online, and I had done a lot of fan work and stuff that wasn't necessarily a job. It's just stuff I wanted to do and to post. So they had seen that and contacted me to do work for this new concert that they were doing for Wonderground. And so, you know, at the time, I had no idea what it was or what they were trying to do with this gallery and stuff. So, of course, you say yes. You jump at the opportunity to work for Disney and stuff. So that was my sort of way in. And, you know, when you're working for Disney, you certainly can't get a better or bigger audience than that fan base. So just having my stuff in the gallery and a few of the pieces did well, that allowed me to really show my work and get it out there, and led to work with other aspects of the company. So it really was just showing in that gallery that got me started working for Disney.
Yeah. So what were some of the first pieces that they had in the gallery, Jared?
So the ones that I did when we first started, I think the first show, because initially they started to do it where every so many months it would be a different show with a specific theme that artists would create their art around. That concept has since gone away. I think it was too restricting. So initially it was Pixar, which was very exciting. So we got to work with Disney characters and Pixar characters. So I did a Toy Story piece, and then I did the Hipster Mickey piece and a Steamboat Willie piece, and then a piece called Warm Up Mickey, where he has sort of the headphones and a sweatshirt on and things like that. So those were the first pieces I did. I think that was 2012 when the gallery first opened.
You know, the Hipster Mickey, I guess, was a different way of seeing Mickey for, you know, a lot of my friends. You know, the first time we saw it, we're like, ooh. That's interesting. That's not like, you know, Mickey in his, you know, normal red thing and black thing. And, you know, it was like Mickey in street clothes, which was kind of different, you know. So how did you come up with the concept for the hipster Mickey? Because, you know, people now on like these Dapper Days are almost dressing like hipster Mickey.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking on its own persona. Yeah. Yeah,
it really has, which has been exciting because, you know, and when you're a part of something with Disney, it just instantly is part of the bigger thing than you and stuff. So it's really fun to watch people like dress up for Halloween as hipster Mickey and things like that. It's been great. One of the main concepts for the gallery when they started it was they wanted something very contemporary. They very much wanted a stylized take on these characters. They didn't want it to look like anything that we've sort of already seen. They were really looking for a fresh take, which is really exciting for Disney. It was usually, you think of them being pretty strict with their properties and what you can do with them. So when we first started it, I actually got stuff sent back. They're like, this is too on model. This looks like something that we'd already see. Can you make it more your own and things like that, which is just shocking to hear from Disney. So, so it was really exciting to be able to take the characters and to go in any direction. The hipster Mickey thing was sort of specifically addressing that, putting him in a costume that would be as contemporary as possible, but still sort of, you know, friendly and not offensive in any way. So it sat around for a little while before we actually decided to go with it for that first show. And then it sort of took off and, you know, became sort of a thing on its own. So it's been exciting to watch. I know it's not everyone's favorite thing. Some people really like their Mickey classic. They don't like any changes to it. And I understand that too. But, you know, in the vast world of Disney merchandise, I think there's plenty of room for these sort of new, different takes on him.
Yes, that's the thing. I mean, we love the variety too. You know, different things appeal to different people. And we love what you're doing. Now, is there another style that you kind of led up to this? We do now
specifically for the hipster Mickey one, or
yeah, I mean, are there other like forms that that you did? Are there other ways that you did Mickey before this?
Oh, well, you know, that one, hipster Mickey was sort of like a one-off thing. Like it was just, you know, it was kind of jokey. It was kind of like this is very contemporary and very now, sort of like how there was a disco Mickey, and I think there was a like an 80s Mickey, and I just wanted to sort of yes. anchor him, you know, in this time period as much as you could. So that's kind of where that one came from primarily. Before that, I was pretty much just drawing sort of cute versions of Mickey. Like I really liked the old Mickey with the sort of just the dot eyes and things like that. It's, you know, that's not the best Mickey for animation, but like for merchandise or for the single poses, I think it's such a appealing, cute version of Mickey. So I tend to draw Mickey that way when I'm not doing necessarily an on-model version of him.
When you start a concept, you know, with, say, somebody like Disney, you know, how long does it take you to, you know, go through the process? Do you start with, you know, some pencil sketches and then you go to a color pencil or using pens? You know, what's the process you go through, Jared?
You know, it usually depends on the project. I do all of my work in Adobe Illustrator, and I've been working in that program for quite some time now, so I'm really fast in it. And it's almost as quick for me to work directly in Illustrator as it is for me to do a nice sketch. So it sort of depends on what the specific project is, like how big the project is or you know, the different elements of it, if there's a lot of background elements. Sometimes you have to do a sketch because you just won't be able to turn something around quickly. But it depends on who I'm working with, the specific art director, I think, and what they like to see and sort of the different levels of approval that they need to do, that will dictate how I work. But in general, I usually start with a sketch, just a pencil and paper sketch. And then sometimes that'll go through an approval process, or I'll just scan it and bring it into Illustrator and work off of that sketch on the computer. So there's not a whole lot of steps leading up to the final art, but I've been doing it for so long now that it's gotten very quick.
How about sculpting, Jared? I haven't seen a lot of sculptures of yours, but I'm sure that you've done that in the past.
No, actually, I haven't.
Really? Just all two-dimensional?
Yeah, everything's two-dimensional. It's such a... It's an art that I'm so... that I'm a fan of, I would say. I've never done it myself. I'm not much of a 3D artist in that way with, you know, even with crafting things or cut paper or things like that. It's just it's such a different approach to it for me that, you know, I greatly admire what I see with those people. In fact, I was working on a recent project where I didn't have to actually sculpt, but I had to provide the drawings for the turnaround to show the character from all these different angles so that a sculptor could take it and create a three-dimensional version. And wow. It's very hard. So I'm definitely a 2D artist. I haven't done any sculpting, but I'm definitely a big collector of the three-dimensional versions of the characters, like the old Disney Classics collection and things like that.
You didn't mention the Toy Story art. I am a huge Toy Story fanatic. So can you tell us a little bit about those different pieces?
Yeah, so the Toy Story one, it was exciting because initially I had done a very cute take on Buzz and Woody and had posted it online and didn't think much of it. And then out of the blue, I got an email from Lee Unkrich, who was directing Toy Story 3 at the time, and said, "We like this. We want to use it on a t-shirt at the store." And I'm like, "Oh, absolutely." So that was a great way to sort of get my work out there and have a lot of different people see it. And so I have a soft spot for Toy Story, definitely. So I was excited to do it for the gallery when they announced that the first show would be Pixar. So the only problem with doing the art with the Toy Story is that you've got some core characters that are created specifically for the movie, but then a lot of these other characters are actual toys. And so we couldn't use the name brand toys that weren't, created specifically for the film. So it kind of limited what we could show in this piece. And I think it was just because of the time crunch and the approval process that we have to go through for these things. So the piece that I did shows Andy in his room with Buzz and Woody and Jesse and like Bullseye and Rex and things like that. But we couldn't use like Potato Head or Slinky Dog, things like that, where these were existing characters before the Toy Story film. Yeah, so that piece was around for just a little while. I don't think it's available in the gallery anymore, but I think it's still on my website for those who would want to take a look at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm staring at right now. And once again, unfortunately, it's really super cute. It's a very young Andy. He's holding Buzz in one hand, Woody in the other, and it's just a really cool picture.
Thank you.
And the other thing I noticed on your site was Huckleberry. I used to watch that cartoon. Unfortunately, I'm probably dating myself. But I used to watch that all the time. And I saw some pieces of Huckleberry that you had. How did that?
Yeah, that one was that was for a Hanna-Barbera show, actually. That someone who, the guy who put on the show, worked for Cartoon Network and did a tribute show that was actually in the offices at Hanna-Barbera. So he just asked a bunch of artists to contribute to it, and he had a list of the properties that were available to use. And so I was very excited to see Huckleberry on there. You don't see a whole lot of him these days, it seems.
No.
A lot of those Hanna-Barbera characters are just kind of gone. But, so I was excited to be able to actually use that character in a piece now. So, yeah. So that's what that one was for. I'm a huge fan of animation since I was little. So I definitely, have fond memories of those characters. So
yeah, I mean, Hanna-Barbera, I mean, back when I was a kid was, classic. You had the Flintstones, you had Huckleberry, and you had the Jetsons, and it's just a long list of stuff that, as a kid brings back memories. So
I think it feels like Hanna-Barbera got kind of the better rep like in the 80s there when animation wasn't, a lot of the television animation wasn't the best, but the heritage before all that with Yogi Bear show, like the first Yogi Bear show, the first incarnation of that was just amazing. I mean, beautifully stylized backgrounds and the way they drew those characters and everything was just fantastic. And I'm really hoping that we see more of it, though, like somehow they can use them. I don't necessarily want an update of them, but
yeah,
to see those classic ones, people to appreciate those classic cartoons would be great.
All right, let's talk about this really awesome Bert and Ernie, but unfortunately there's no Bert, it's just Ernie. With Mickey ears, a Mickey balloon, and a Mickey ice cream bar. I mean, he's got the trio of, awesome Mickey stuff. So how did that happen?
So that one was for, I think that was just like one of these websites that I contribute to where they sort of put a call out to artists. So they'll give us a theme every like month and say, you know, just do whatever you want with it. And I think it was for, I think it was a Jim Henson thing or something like that. So,
right.
Ernie's one of my favorite characters. So, you know, I just wanted to incorporate them with my other love of Disney and stuff like that. So I just thought it would be great. You know, we've seen the Muppets go to Disneyland before and stuff like that. Not the Sesame Street characters, but I thought it would be fun to sort of see a version of that. So not for that character. It was just kind of a fun sketch to do.
Yeah. You like do everything. I'm looking at Haunted Mansion, there's Star Wars, there's Avenger stuff, there's Toy Story, there's Bert and Ernie. I mean, you really, you're great at everything, I have to say.
That's very nice. You know, it's the style that I use, I think, that I want to be appealing. And if I can translate all of these different properties into the same style, I think it's fun for me. That's definitely what I like to do. And the more not cute something is, like the Haunted Mansion or something like that, the more fun it is for me to sort of take that and cutify it and make it into sort of something that's unexpectedly cute. And I think that's where I find the most fun with any of these projects that I get to work on. So if you do something like, I don't know, like so many of the Disney characters are already cute, it's kind of hard to make them cuter. So if you start with something like Haunted Mansion or something like that, it's such fun to translate that into this Hello Kitty style of drawing.
Yeah.
I keep laughing. I keep seeing these happy underpants. Even whitey tidies can be cute, right?
Yeah, see, that's exactly my approach to everything. Sort of something sort of unexpected, I think. And it's amazing if you put a happy face on something, how more appealing it is.
Well, I'm sure you get asked this all the time. What advice do you have for young people that are maybe listening to this show and they love to draw and they love to get a freelance artist position? What's your advice for them?
Well, I mean, you know, in general, I think they're very fortunate to be sort of coming up as an artist now with social media and things like that. They have the access, accessibility to these artists and these companies is so great right now. And it's just so easy to get your work out there and have people see it. So my thing is to do what you love. Do exactly what you love. Don't do what you think you should be doing or what happens to be popular at the time. Do exactly what you want to do and get really good at it. And then post that work and share it and get feedback. You know, you want honest feedback. And you'd be surprised how many artists out there are receptive to, you know, just having a conversation with you or giving you some tips on what you're doing. So I think that's the main thing. I mean, aside from just basic drawing skills and things like that, it's getting your work out there and sort of socializing with the community that is out there. As far as working for Disney specifically, I think it's the same approach. Everybody wants to work for Disney, and they have the advantage of being able to, you know, pick and choose who they want to work for. So aside from animation, that's more of a specific, I think, process of applying for jobs there. You just need to get your work out there so that they can come across it and find it and contact you. And that's what happened for me. I didn't apply for things or submit a portfolio or, you know, I didn't send in a lot of stuff. I just brought my work out there. And then eventually it landed in front of the right people. So I think, you know, in general, that's probably the best advice I can get for someone who wants to do kind of something similar to what I'm doing now.
Do you remember what the first piece of art you ever sold was?
Oh, that I ever sold?
Yeah.
Gosh. I had done some things for some smaller galleries, it wasn't too much before Wonderground Gallery, but some of these smaller galleries would have these little art shows, and I would send in some of my pieces, and then people purchased some of those. But nothing compared to what I've seen with, Wonderground and what the kind of exposure you can get from Disney. So I can't even remember what the first piece was.
It might've been when you were a kid, you know?
Yeah, no, I know it wasn't when I was a kid. I know I used to do a lot of free drawings. you know, but no, I don't think I sold anything as a kid. I think I was too sort of shy about it to feel like someone was going to buy it, you know.
So for your non-Disney stuff, Jared, where can people go buy that? Because I know Disney's not going to let you sell that anywhere.
Right, right. And I wouldn't want to sell it anywhere else. So Disney's the primary place that I'm selling my artwork right now. The rest of it, it sort of is on individual shows for different small galleries, and I'll post things about that on my website and on social media and things like that. But Wonderground and some of the park merchandise is pretty much the only place where you can kind of consistently see my work. So if you're interested in anything else, I think just staying connected with me through social media or through Facebook or just following my blog on my website will give them an idea. But other than that, I don't sell like the licensed stuff on my own. So I
think I just saw too that some of the stuff is on the DisneyStore.com, correct?
Yeah, the Hits or Mickey stuff, I think it's the only thing that's available through DisneyStore.com.
Okay.
That you can buy online. So a small selection of stuff is available on there. Not all of the Wonderground stuff, though. So.
Yeah. So at least people can get something if they can't get to a park anytime soon.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
So we have a fun little quiz. We haven't done this in a while, but with you being a creative guy, we thought this might be fun.
Okay.
Just, you know, off the top of your head, easy stuff, like what are your favorite things and stuff like that. So we'll just go ahead and throw these questions at you, and you can just answer at your leisure. So if you could hang out with any Disney character, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. That is tough. You know, like off the top of my head, I'd want to say Mickey Mouse because it would be like hanging around with Walt Disney, you know, and who would know more about everything than him. So I guess I'd probably have to say Mickey Mouse. Some other people might give you a better time, but that would be the most interesting, I think.
Yeah, that's a good answer. So now what's your favorite ride at Disneyland and what's your favorite ride at Disney World? Have you been to both?
I have been to both, yeah. Okay. Gosh, let's see. Disneyland, I think I'd probably have to go with Small World. It's just, you know, it's one of like the classic attractions, and I'm a big Mary Blair fan, and I think it just captures her work perfectly. And you know, as an artist, who wouldn't want to see their vision so beautifully executed in a 3D format as a Small World? So I think that would be my favorite one. And the Disneyland facade is particularly spectacular. So I'd say that's my favorite Disneyland. And actually, at Disney World, I don't know what my favorite... One of my favorite things at Disney World that we don't have in California is Zohar Magic, actually.
Yes.
I just think that's so fantastic. The way they,
me too.
I would love to see an updated version of that.
Yes, I love that one too. I never get tired of it. I want to go see it every time I'm there. So, and we live in Orlando.
I go multiple times I can while I'm there.
Now, do you have a favorite Disney song?
See, these are always very difficult questions for me. It would probably have to be something from Little Mermaid, because I think that was like one of the first Disney soundtracks that I completely loved and listened to over and over again. I mean, I still listen to it now when I'm working and things like that. So, I guess like Part of Your World or something like Our Under the Sea, one of those songs probably.
Oh, I love it. Well, and then what do you think, do you have a hidden talent that people don't know about?
No, I can't even, that's a tough one too. My gosh, now the Disney questions seem really easy compared to that.
I think we know what his talent is. It's drawing.
Yeah,
that's
not hidden.
I put it all there. There's nothing to secret.
That's right.
Okay, one last one. What do you think your favorite Disney snack would be?
Disney snack? Oh, like picking your favorite child again. Let's see. That is so tough. I mean, you know, churro's great, but it's kind of boring. I like the Matterhorn macarons that they put out lately.
Yes.
But probably the turkey leg is something I associate the most with Disneyland. And
really?
That I feel like you don't... Yeah, I know. I think it's something because I discovered it kind of later in life. We didn't get it when we were little. I don't know if they had them, you know, back then. But I think that's probably one of the... Or Dole Whip, but everyone kind of says Dole Whip, so I hate to say that. But yeah, Dole Whip's definitely another thing that I very much associate with the parks. So
yeah,
one of those, I guess. Yeah.
All good answers. I love the Matterhorn macaroon too. That was, I've had one of those. That was amazing.
Yeah. For being a new snack too, I think it's really cute. Like it feels like a classic Disneyland snack. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to put links to everything in the show notes, but where, briefly, where can people find you online? Where are you the most?
So I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I think those two are probably the most, where I'm updating the most. So if you go to jmariana.com, you can find the links to sort of all my social media stuff there. So that's probably the best place to start. And my blog is there as well. So I'll always post there for contests or upcoming things.
I was just going to say, Jared has some amazing contests. So you definitely want to check out his blog, pretty regularly, because you never know what you could win or what you'll find. So very fun. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you coming on. And gosh, I wanted to have you on for so long. So this is like a dream come true for me. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I've listened to your podcast and you've had some amazing people on here. So it's just an honor to be able to, be part of that. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks. We're honored to have you. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through one reach upon the star. Your dream.